Is it cheating to hire a ghostwriter for your social media content? Absolutely not. And I'm not saying that because today's guest is biased either. Amy Blaschka is an experienced content creator focused on helping you build your presence and brand on social media. With so many people doing the post and ghost approach, the best way is to publish meaningful content that's true to your personal brand and get knowledge about you, your business, or your offerings in front of the right people. From getting your message consistent with your profile, clarifying what you're trying to say, and mastering the art of content marketing, there's a lot that we all can learn about how to wield social media in a powerful way. If you're struggling how to figure out how this whole social media thing works, you can find Amy at her website, amyblaschka.com, to see how she can help you. And as always, enjoy the listen. Hey, you're on the Hot Mic Get Arch DevOps with Fritz. I'm here today with Amy Blaschka, social media ghostwriter, personal brand strategist, and storyteller. How are you tonight, Miss Amy?
I'm well, Fritz. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. We're both tired, though. We were just talking about this. Yeah. Like, we do these episodes sometimes. We do them in the evenings, and it's like, this is just, it's different. It's like we had a day, and we're done with the day. We're just chilling, and we're just going to have a laid back. Or I don't know. You're pretty energetic. I mean, we might go woo-woo off the rails.
I don't know. My energy is contagious, so it might like trickle over to you by osmosis. I don't know.
It's all over me. It burns. Get it off. Well, great. Now I'm scared. So tell us a little bit about what you got going on, because as long as I've known you, and I think I've known you for probably 3 or 4 years,
yeah,
and we've met in person a couple times now. This is our third time seeing each other face to face. What do you got going on? You're all over the place when it comes to writing and stuff, but what is it that you do here? Let's start there.
So I am primarily a social media ghostwriter, which means that I work with leaders to craft their stories, to communicate and connect better. And that most often takes the form of ghostwritten updates or posts, primarily on LinkedIn, and occasionally articles. I also am a Forbes contributor in leadership. So I publish an article just about once a week, so 5 times a month. And I also work with leaders on their, what I call a career story. And it really comes down to having clarity on their positioning. Because what often happens when I'm working with them on ghostwriting, which is really to support their personal brands and thought leadership. So these are seasoned professionals, right? They have decades of experience in their area of expertise. And when we write together, it's really about showcasing their wisdom in their wheelhouse, right? Which is 1, 2, maybe 3 things. It's not everything, you know, and I always advising it, don't try to do everything. But inevitably, the happy consequence of regularly, you know, sharing your wisdom on social media is that people are intrigued and they want to know more and they click back to your profiles. And if the way you're presenting yourself to the world is incongruent with the way that you are, you know, what your content says, they're going to confuse people. And the last thing you want to do is confuse people, because when you confuse them, you lose them.
Yeah.
So I help them pull together a story that weaves together their personal and professional experiences in such a way that points them in the direction of that thought leadership, that there is no question, it aligns everything and ties it up with a nice little bow and helps them find clarity. And so the way they are positioned is really more for their destiny and less about their history. So someone visits that profile, when they read a story about them, they're like, yeah, that Fritz guy, I really like that. That guy's cool. He knows what he's talking about. And wow. And there's no disconnect between the content they're putting out and the way that they are presenting themselves to the world.
Okay. Have you seen, well, I guess I'm not asking you to name names or anything, but have you seen examples of profiles on LinkedIn for, you know, that just are, they're kind of out of sync with what they're saying, like their content's wonky compared to what they say in their profile? Like, what are some examples of that? Without naming names, of course.
I won't name any names. So, I mean, it happens, and it happens innocently enough. I think, you know, LinkedIn has changed a lot in the last several years as a platform. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when it first came out, And if anyone caught you on LinkedIn, it was, they said, oh, you're looking for a job. You know, it was really considered more of an online resume. Mm-hmm. So many people that are of a certain age, such as myself, they may have still have that mentality and may not have visited the platform recently in recent years. So they just treat it like, well, I threw my stuff up there, like my CV or my resume, and it's sort of, you leave it and you walk away. And now it's much more dynamic, so much more about, it's a content platform, certainly, but it's a community and it's fluid and it's engaging. And you know, that's actually how we ended up meeting, right? Is you can drive it back to social media and that's like, oh, hey. So I think the mistakes that people make, there are many, unfortunately, it's that they have either outdated information, right? That it's not relevant. It's something they updated back in 2004 and they've had like three jobs since. So it's not really speaking to, you know, what they really do today. It's incomplete. You know, there is a big portion of real estate on their LinkedIn profiles, their summary section. And so often I see, a couple things. Either it's completely blank, which is a shame, or it's just a rehash of what their company does, nothing about them as the person. This is an individual profile for like Amy Blaschka, right? Or, you know, it's just sort of has like bullet points of, you know, I'm the top broker of the year, or I'm this. And while that's fine, the way that I approach it is, you know, you have a chance in that space because it's not just listing out your experience, like it does. And through the experience section, is essentially your online resume, right? It has the chronological order of the positions that you've held and for how long and where and whatnot.
Right.
But that summary, that about section is your chance to speak to whoever your intended audiences are, mm-hmm. and control that narrative in such a way that you are attracting naturally and speaking to those intended audiences about who you are, what matters most to you, and how you serve others. You make it crystal clear what you're all about because you want to make it easy for people. I get it. I get who she is and what she's about. And you don't want to be all things to all people. You really need to hone in and, you know, focus on what it is you do, because that makes it much easier for people to connect with you, to understand, you know, how to partner with you. Maybe it depends. If you are a CEO of a company and you're trying to attract talent, it gives those people, potential employees, a sense of who you are. It's like, wow, do I want to work with this person? You know, so there are many ways, but it really serves as an educational piece. And really, it's about you, the individual. And, you know, we're all different. We're all unique. And if you default to just sort of nothing, or leave it outdated, or leave it to chance, why would you leave it to chance when you have an opportunity? This is one of the few places where you have the opportunity to control the messaging and how you are positioned and how you present yourself to the world. So that's probably the biggest thing that I see, is just it's incomplete or just forgotten. Yep. And then it's kind of the same with the headline, right? So the headline is that short bit. So even if someone doesn't see your profile, they might see that you've commented on somebody else's post, or maybe you shared something, and they kind of get a hint, well, who is that person? You know, they'll see sort of what comes up next to your little photo, your name next to you, and that's your headline. And, you know, if you're a generic sort of default to whatever your current position is, I'm the, you know, it just says VP of marketing. I'm like, okay, so what? You know, it's like, so what? You know, that's your point of differentiation. That's a way to speak very clearly, concisely, in like a sentence. Like, you know, you could even have keywords like what you do and who you help. So people, and that's really to pique their interest. So maybe then they go to your profile, and they go to your profile, they can have a little more depth in that career story. And the other thing that I see people doing in that about section is if they do write something, they write it in third person, which is a traditional bio, right? I get that. But man, if somebody is literally taking the time and they're on your profile, I'm not going to speak about Amy in the third, you know, mm-hmm. It feels odd, you know,
and it does. And
if your goal is, and everybody has a goal, whether it's you're trying to sell your services, your product, whatever, or you're trying to connect with others, my God, why don't you remove that barrier, right? Speak in first person as if you were, have a conversation, speak as if you're speaking to someone, because you are, those are the people that are reading your profile, and it should be very natural. And the way that you speak should be the way that you write and present yourself. So again, for that alignment of who you are, what you're, it's okay to have some personality. It doesn't have to be dry. It doesn't have to be overly, you know, pretentious or academic. It really needs to suit you. So those are the some of the things that I see, and they're easily avoidable, right?
They are. Well, I mean, I still think we've got this stigma, and a lot of people that are in like high leadership positions, it's kind of a lagging indicator, right? Because they still think that LinkedIn is just, well, it's an old mustard. You know, you put your resume up there, and if you're looking for a job, and I'm not looking for a job. And there have been so many times where, you know, I see the people that are the movers and shakers, the ones that are actually out there producing content, it's going viral, and you look at their profile and you're like, dang, son, that's on fire. And see, your excitement is contagious. I'm awake now, and you are too. I'm like, woohoo, yeah. She warned me. She tried to warn me. But then you look at the people that are kind of like, they don't really get in very often, and it's just old and kind of musty. Like, you practically expect to see cobwebs on it. So do you think that there are still some people out there that think LinkedIn is just a resume graveyard? Like, is that still a thing?
I do. I think that stigma remains. I think if they haven't gone into the platform in the last several years, I think that remains. Or social media is just a waste of time. And now, granted, social media can definitely skew negative, and there's a lot of nonsense on it. But the way that I, you know, advocate for social media and what I share with my clients is kind of best use is to stay positive and to not post just to post. Not like, okay, like I always use this example. If I were to suddenly start posting up on like cryptocurrency or blockchain, people would be like, what? You know, if you stay sort of in that wheelhouse that you have expertise in, right? It's not like, don't talk about things you don't know about. Talk about what you do know and share that. And the other thing is, I think with social media in general and content, and LinkedIn certainly as a part of that, you have to understand that you have to play the long game. Right? Mm-hmm. It's not enough to just go in and, well, I updated my profile once 3 years ago and I posted one article or I liked something, whatever. And, you know, you post and ghost, I call it. Consistency and discipline, right? Just like anything else, the more you put into something, into LinkedIn or into social media, into the content and the engagement of that, the more you're going to get out. I will tell you this, and I tell all of my clients this, that I do no outbound advertising. I never have. I don't do Facebook ads. I don't do any of that. I'm not. And every time I post, I mean, I don't say, hey, hire me to be your ghostwriter. And da 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 da. But I do demonstrate my expertise. I share my wisdom. I talk about things that I know about that are important to me through my content, you know, and people feel, you know, one, they understand what I'm about. But I think the other thing about content, whether it's, you know, written or it's videos or whatever you want to do, or podcasts and sharing audio, when you have more of that about you, when you are talking about what matters most to you and kind of in your wheelhouse, that helps people better understand you, because it gives you that know, like, and trust factor. So if someone was on the fence about like, well, I'm looking for someone to help me with this, and they have the opportunity to go to your profile and really read a message from you to them about who they are and how they help and what really matters most to them. If they have an opportunity also to click there and go, wait, let's see, she's posted some content, let's check this out. And, you know, they consistently show up and deliver and are disciplined, not only in the content sharing, but, you know, in staying in their lane and talking about what matters most. And it's like, wow. And that's what happens over time. You become this trusted resource and go-to authority that people are like, yeah, okay, I've seen her talk, or I've listened to what he said on his podcast, or I've written what they, you know. That know, like, and trust factor is essential, because then by the time that they reach out to you, they feel like they already know you. They feel like they know. And this has happened to me a lot. So anytime someone reaches out to me about working together, they already said, well, I've been following you for, this happens a lot, even if I don't recognize the name, I've been following you for months, And, you know, people do that. There are lurkers and, you know, it happens, but yeah. You think, well, maybe nobody's listening. Someone is always listening. Someone is always reading. You never know the lives that you will touch. So you need to keep going, because I guarantee you something that you think is insignificant, it doesn't matter if you got one like on a post. What matters is that one person reaches out to you to hire you, to tell you what you put out there helped them in some way. So that's what it's all about. Like, so yeah, I think I'm getting off on my soapbox here, but yes, I the platform has changed and it's not just an online resume, to answer your original question.
I love it though. And I mean, like, I could hear the soapbox scraping across the floor and I'm like, oh Lord, here it comes.
Here we go.
But I did ask the question. And you know, for every time, like, I think I heard a statistic one time, and maybe just anecdotal, but you know, for every like that you get on a post, even if you do get one like, you've probably had 99 other people that actually saw it and they just didn't poke the like button. Doesn't mean they hate it. It means they saw it, they consumed it. And like you, I've had people come up to me and say, oh my goodness, Fritz, you're just, I read your stuff all the time. And I'm like, sorry, but I don't know who you are, right? It's weird. I mean, the first couple of times it's weird. It's like creepy, but I mean, hey, if people really like what you're writing, I mean, that speaks volumes, as you said. And you know, these days I hear people, they're like, well, I don't know how to build my business. I don't know how to get my name out there. And it's like, well, what are you doing to do that? Like, what are you doing to get your name out there? Are you producing content? And I mean, I'm not in the space. I'm not a ghostwriter. But that's the first thing I reach for. And I'm like, where are you getting your name out there? How are they knowing about you? How do they know about what you do? How do they know about how you help? And if they don't have any kind of social media presence, I mean, it can be difficult. It's not impossible, but it's a heck of a lot easier when you've got like 500 million people that are able to see your stuff. So
yeah, most definitely. Yeah. That's the thing. And you know, once you start posting regularly, people come to expect to see stuff from you, you know, even if you don't realize that, you know, they are the ones that are viewing it. They are the ones that are consuming that in some shape or another. And, you know, I remember I like went on vacation and I swear I posted like, hey, I'm off on vacation, but I had people messaging me like, are you okay? Like, where's your daily con? You know, like, it's funny because people come to expect that. Okay. Because it's a learned behavior, right? Yeah. And you know, it's a learned behavior for the person who is putting themselves out there and trying to build their personal brand and their thought leadership, you know, that you need to be regularly doing this, but it's also the audience who like comes to expect it, and you don't want to disappoint them. You want to still be able to provide that wisdom. And I think, you know, the other thing that I hear again and again from people in terms of an objection doing this, well, nobody cares what I say. No, I don't have anything of value. And,
that's,
you know,
a lie.
I call
that's a
BS,
lie.
Right?
Yeah, everybody's got value.
Yes, everyone has value. You know, a lot of people are very humble. And the other part I think that is true of so many people is, you know, you can have decades of experience, all this stuff. And people have natural gifts. And the things that come easily to us, to each of us, we tend to discount as not very valuable because they come to us very naturally and easily, right? Mm-hmm. You think, well, that took me no time, or that was easy, or, you know, it's not very hard for me. So it's probably the same for everyone. Well, it's not. Oh. And I think people run the risk of, you know, they downplay their abilities and they downplay that knowledge, and even things that you might consider very basic, right? That's not the same for everybody. So, you know, they're looking, I think people are hungry for leadership. They're hungry for people that have something to say, have a point of view that, and I'm not to say that, you know, a point of view that it's like super polarizing, although if that's you, do you, you know, there's somebody for everyone, but, it's okay to have a point of view. In fact, it's essential to your personal brand, so people know what you're about, right? Because if you're always a me too, or you never really take a stand, nobody cares. Nobody will, like, I don't know. Again, you'll confuse them because they don't know, because you've never said, and they're not going to guess. They're going to move on, right?
Right. Yeah. Because if you don't take the time to like define yourself, somebody else is either going to define you or ignore you. You know, if you're just too milquetoast, like, just go along to get along. It's like, I'm sorry, but those people are boring as heck. I can't be around those people. It's like, pick a thing. Like
a thing, anything,
you know, yeah. Just have an opinion, argue with me, you know, let's disagree about something, anything, let's fight, you know? And it's like, oh my goodness. I don't know. You probably hear me getting ready to scrape my soapbox, but I gotta keep it off to the side. I'm like,
it's okay.
You know,
there's room for two soapboxes. It's okay.
There's room. Well, not in this truck. I hardly have room for myself in here. Oh my goodness. But, I got some more questions for you in a little bit, but let's take a short break here for a sponsor message. And then I've got an idea to run past you. And then I want to find out a little bit more about maybe the stigma around hiring a ghostwriter. So let's hang on the line for a little bit, get a sponsor message, and we will be right back. Okie dokie. And we're back. I couldn't help but notice that when you said when you go on vacation and you're like, hey, I'm going to be off for a little bit. So I'm fine. And then everybody's like, oh my goodness, she's dead. Where are you? You ever use any kind of like post scheduling? Because that freaks me out. I hate telling people I'm on vacation. Somebody's going to come over and just steal all of our stuff. Maybe I posted about that. You ever use any kind of like scheduling tools or anything? Or you just, what do you do?
I probably should, but I do not. I plan, I use a content calendar for myself. So I do plan out what I'm going to post and when, and it's, you know, like I said, I always, almost always do, unless there's a holiday on a Monday, I always do my Forbes article that comes out on a Monday. I'll usually do a visual on a Tuesday. I have, I kind of go through that way and map it out because I do track it. I'm a geek like this. I track every piece of content to track engagement, which is important. We haven't talked about that, but you know, not for vanity metrics per se. If it gets a lot of likes or reactions, great. But what I really want to see, are people engaging? Are they leaving comments?
Right.
You know, are they messaging me after? Does it spur them to action, right? Is there some engagement? And I always go and engage with them. But I don't use scheduling tools. Although I did schedule a tweet. I didn't realize that you could do that. And I was on there looking, kind of testing, oh, how long can this be? Because there's a certain number of character counts. And I was like, wait, I can schedule it. So it was an experiment I did. And I was nervous it wouldn't come out. So I like checked the next day. I'm like, oh, it worked. But no, yeah. What I do usually is first thing in the morning, because I'm West Coast. So I'm already 3 hours behind the East Coast, let alone Europe and, you know, Australia and Asia, all the other places in the world. I feel like it's more of the tail end of stuff. So usually around like 6 a.m. my time, I'll post my content on LinkedIn, both my personal and, my company page, and then on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. I'll do that just so we have that. I've heard people doing scheduling, if you can do that, but sometimes I'm waiting for a link like, oh, it's publishing on Forbes and it's not done yet. Or like I do schedule, like I'll write a Forbes article on a Sunday and schedule it to post on a Monday morning. And so I have to wait for that Monday morning to grab that link to share it. But, I think I'm all for efficiency and using tools. What I don't like is when we get to the point of automation, because it kind of speaks to that posting and ghosting where it's just pushed out there and you're never there to check or engage with it. And
yes,
you know, by the time you check in, it dehumanizes it a little bit for me. And I know people have strong opinions one way or the other, but for me, since I'm all about communicating, connecting, and trying to advocate for that, I feel like you need to physically show up to do that versus like, okay. And I know this exists too for people who get very busy and are super important people in the world, I guess, that they have other people engage for them, you know, like, oh, yeah. I'm going to have my virtual assistant go in and be me, you know, to do stuff. And I still do all my own engagement. Maybe that's stupid, but I feel a little disingenuous if I don't. It takes a lot of time, but I feel like, you know, if somebody is taking time out of their day, precious time, to actually read or consume my content and leave a comment or whatever, I feel like I owe it to them to acknowledge that kindness and you know, thank them for that. And if they have a question or they have a perspective that, you know, talk about, just to engage with that and kind of talk about that via another comment. So,
yeah. I hear you there. I thought we were going to have a fight for a second there, Amy, because you're like, automation bad. I'm like, whoa, hey, hang on.
No, automation's not bad. Tools are great. Efficiency tools are great. I think, you know, when you can set up systems that give you more time to do you know, use your talents at their highest and best use. I think that is awesome. That's what tools are for, right?
Yeah.
So, and nothing will ever replace humans, but I think, you know, for like, I did that with scheduling for like my calendar, right?
Yeah.
Rather than go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And so it's right, just right. like, okay, here's this particular link for this type of meeting or whatever. And it's, that's been a godsend, and that's, it's a simple thing and it takes some time to set up, but it's like, yeah. But yeah, so no, we're not going to get into fight scenes.
No, we're not going to fight.
Automation's not bad. I like technology. It's all good. It's all good.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Now, I'm not just saying that because you're on my podcast, are you? Where you're like, oh my goodness.
No, I believe that.
Off the host. Now, you would shoot from the hip. I know you. You'd be like, no, I actually hate automation. You'd say it to my face. You'd be like, I don't care. I'm Amy Blaschka, sucker. I love it. You know, there have been, I'll tell you, you want to talk about ridiculous automation, though. I have seen there's some tool out there, and I don't know the name of it, but it's almost like an engagement pod where people can say, hey, we're going to like mutually follow each other. And anytime you have a post, we're going to go to your post and automatically put like a little phrase like great post, true words, awesome. And it's like, that looks so like these one or two word, awesome. Muscle flex.
Oh, is it? So it's automated, huh? So it's like a bot or going out there and like,
yeah.
Oh.
And I saw that and I'm just like, dude, this is gross. I hate that. I tried it out for like an hour and I'm like, this is stupid. I can't use this. I can't in good conscience use this, but I do some things that that help me with my engagement, and I'll probably show you some of these sometime. One of the things is, if I've got posts out there, I like to go find comments that I haven't answered yet and just have them in like a website. Like just click on a link and go right to the post. That way I don't lose track of it. Another thing, kind of going back to what you were saying before, like if you're wanting to promote your brand, sometimes getting out there and commenting on other people's posts will give you a lot more reach. And one thing you can do, especially on LinkedIn, is go to posts that are by people in your second degree network. So not people that are connected directly with you, but someone that they know, and then comment on those posts if you can weigh in with something, because it just opens up and you'll get so many more people that are seeing you.
That's an excellent, excellent strategy. I think too is, you know, and that's good for the people that are scared about putting their own stuff out there. Like, I don't know. A good baby step is to be an intentional commenter on other people's stuff. And it helps to comment, yes, on the second degree connections, but also those people that are in the same space, right? So you are knowledgeable about maybe that you're in the same arena, in the same industry, or they're speaking on a topic that you feel very passionately about, that you can make a thoughtful comment, because your comment essentially is your content, right? Mm-hmm. So rather than just say awesome or great post, you can add value, and people that see that comment, like you said, a whole new network of people that are seeing that are like, huh, this Fritz guy, oh, where'd he come from? That just happened to me with somebody that he was consistently commenting on my stuff, and he's like very thoughtful. It wasn't just the crappy stuff. And we have a friend, Lila Smith, who does that and is very good at that too.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
It works. I mean, that's the thing. You don't have to be this prolific content creator, although I would say you should still put your own perspective out there. But if you start by going through and commenting on other posts, then certainly that is another way to showcase your wisdom. So yes, excellent point.
Yep. It's something that's just worked, and it's like, wow, it's almost like magic. Social media works. And if anybody doubts that, it's like, are you using it properly? Like there's all kinds of things you can do.
I think the other thing though is what's your expectation?
Yeah.
Right. It's not a one and done. It is a long game. And if you're in it to be, I want to be an influencer, well, then you should probably leave. I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, you're probably in it for the wrong reason. So that's Amy, like, dropping the truth bomb. Like it's
boom,
you know, it is a long game. You do have to stick with it. You do have to put in the work, whether it's commenting on other people's stuff. You should do anyway. You should engage with other people's content. That helps you learn. It helps you deepen relationships. But you know, don't strive to be an influencer. And by the way, don't call yourself an influencer. It's the same as guru or expert or any ninja. That's annoying. Yeah. Don't do that. All right. Other people call you an influencer, right? Mm-hmm. They get to decide, and you know, you can strive to have impact, right? Impact, not influence. And the influence will come when you have impact, but other people will bestow you with that title.
Yeah. It's like calling yourself humble. As soon as you do it, you're not, it doesn't work. I'm the humblest man I know. Ah. I love it. Well, I've got one more question for you because this is something that's been on my mind. You know, I've worked with ghostwriters and over the years, and I think there was just like this hurdle, this mental hurdle I had to overcome because I almost felt like working with a ghostwriter is like cheating. Like, I'm supposed to write this and they're going to write it and I'm going to put my name on it. Mm-hmm. Like, isn't that plagiarism? Like, I was taught in school not to do that kind of stuff. How do you help people overcome that hurdle? Surely I'm not the only one that thinks that.
No, I've been asked this many times. And I will tell you that I can just speak for my process and the way I work with leaders. So I'm set up, I work with, because this is a long game, right? I'm set up as a monthly retainer. We have a deep and intimate relationship. So we have a weekly standing call of half an hour. And every week at the same time, we get on the phone and I say, what's going on in your world with this? So what happens is they are sharing with me literally what's been going on. And I just had two different ones this morning, or today, and two different clients, different things going on, what's happening in their world. And it could be anything from, you know, a client meeting, they won some business, they did that. It depends on their world. It could be something with their kid, you know, in virtual learning. I mean, it's crazy. Everything counts. But they talk to me what's happening, and my job is to listen, right? I take copious notes because the whole idea to me is, yes, I'm your ghostwriter, but I'm more of a thinking partner, and I'm helping you find clarity, and I'm taking all this information, all this verbal stuff that you're giving me, because most of my clients are very verbally fluent and they are fast talkers, so I'm like scribbling notes, right? They talk about it. They're used to, you know, pitching to investors and all this stuff, but they have a hard time culling that down to a concise, compelling written post. And quite often I'm writing LinkedIn updates, which are only 1300 characters or less, which is only about 200-ish words. And you know, if they want to put hashtags in there and different things, we have to accommodate for that. So the idea is it's one key takeaway based on their own experience, and it can be a challenge for them. So I'm listening, what are we doing? And I try to give them the clarity also to stay within their wheelhouse. So even if they had like, oh, a crazy thing happened, well, how does that apply to these one, two, or three things that you told me you're all about? If it doesn't, we're not going to write about that. So it's kind of keeping them in their lane. But really all I'm doing, I'm the conduit, right? I am listening to everything that they're saying, their phrasing, their cadence, their word choice. And I am translating that into a post. Now, it sounds like them because it's their words. It's 95% them, right? Yep. And, you know, I can easily, this is one of those things, I can easily do this. I used to think, oh, no big deal. They have a hard time with it. So I know it's something that they need and they want, because when they get it, when I share it with them in a Google Doc and they read, they're like, yeah, how come I couldn't just say it that way? You know, but that's what they mean. So it's not cheating. Is it cheating to get an expert to help you communicate? I don't think so. And I'm not making up stuff for them. These are their experiences, their words. You know, I know there are ghostwriters for books and speeches and all sorts of things that they literally, they're not having conversations necessarily with their clients. They're just, they're often doing it. So, but that's not my method of ghostwriting. So maybe I'm unusual. Maybe I'm the norm. I don't know. Ghostwriting is a very, it's cloaked in mystery anyway. Mm-hmm. And it makes it challenging, you know, when I have potential clients say, well, can you share with me, you know, what you've done for, no, I can't, I can't, because that's the whole point. But that's another reason that I write so much of my own, so people can get a, you know, a taste of, you know, my style and my range and my abilities and everything. But it's not cheating. It's not cheating.
Okay. Well, I feel better about it. And I hope the folks at home listening feel the same way too. I mean, it is difficult. I think I come in a generation that a lot more of us have like ADHD. I don't think I've ever been diagnosed, but holy gee whiz, do I have a problem with trying to take my brain and be like, let's focus on a thought. Hey, I know some people can do it, but I can't. Mm-hmm. And there was a time I worked with a ghostwriter. We were banging out articles and I'm like, this is great. We'd have like a 30-minute chat mm-hmm. and just, you know, ask the questions and things, just yank ideas out of my head. And I'm like, wow, what a huge lift. That's what ghostwriters do. Yeah. Y'all are doing the Lord's work. So keep up, keep doing your thing, Miss Amy. Well, how would people find you? How would people, other than just go on LinkedIn? I mean, if somebody were to like court you for working together, how would they go mm-hmm. about doing that?
Well, I mean, certainly they can visit my website, which is amyblashka.com. And I'm sure in your show notes, you'll have the spelling because there's a lot of consonants in my last name. But there, I talk about the two things that I do to help clients. So it's the social media ghostwriting and it's writing their career stories. And I have a lot of content, a lot of my process, what to expect, how it works, that sort of thing. And they can reach me through the website. They can send me through the contact form. Tell me what you're interested in, and then I will share more information and a link to a calendar link, right? Because I have the scheduling software now to schedule an introductory call where we can talk about your goals. We can talk about what you want and what makes sense. And if you send me something, this is important too, that you're like, I want someone to help me do this, like web copy, say. I will politely decline because that's not the highest and best use of my talents. I can do it, but that's not best. But I will always refer you or try my best to refer you to somebody who can help you. Because I think it's important, much like I'm telling my clients, I want to, you know, walk the talk and stay in my lane and do what I do best. And I know what I do, and staying in those two areas really helps my clients the most. And they are complementary services. I often will start with one and end up doing the other for a client and vice versa. So
nice.
Find me there. And of course, all the socials, right? LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, all the fun stuff. Yeah.
Nice. I will be putting that in the show notes. I want to see if I can get some people coming your way, because you know what, the way things are right now, people need to have a better presence on social media. Mm-hmm. And I was just talking with somebody earlier, like there's so much noise out there. There's very little good content. And it's just blah, 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 blah. It's just eating junk food. It's like, gotta eat some meat. Gotta get some good stuff. Awesome. Well, I have had fun chatting with you. It's been a long time coming, but we made it. For the future, we could spin up another episode sometime and check in and see what you've been up to
a
few months from now. And hope you had fun.
I had a blast as usual. And I'm way more full of energy now than when we started. So see, you gave me energy.
It's mutually contagious. Well, I pounded like a mug of coffee before I came out here. I'm like, I need energy. Oh my goodness. And I'm like, I'm ready. I'm not going to go to sleep until 2 a.m. I don't know why I do this to myself. You would think after 39 years, I would learn my lesson, but I guess not.
There's time.
The night is young. Well, we'll go ahead and put a pin in this, and I look forward to catching up with you at a later date, maybe at another no longer virtual, if not sooner. And I hope you have good rest of the evening and rest of the week. All right.
You too, Fritz. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast. Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at Arch DevOps.